that as we talk now about depleted uranium, this is in the unborn babies. This is in the wombs of mothers. This is in the air and in the soil, and it will always be there.
And let's put the same question to Fodat Alani. As President Putin has been indicted for war crimes on this 20th anniversary of the Bush invasion, the U.S. invasion of Iraq, do you feel that President George W. Bush, that Dick Cheney, and other high-level U.S. government officials should be charged with war crimes for what happened to your country, to Iraq?
Yes, and as Sinan mentioned, the list of crimes is very long, especially about Iraq, but not only Iraq. It was funny to see the reaction of Joe Biden talking about the ICC going after Putin when Joe Biden said something like, yes, this is great. But at the same time, he said, but us, the USA, we don't recognize the ICC. And we know why. Bush would be on the list. A lot of people would be on the list. Even if we can see similarities, of course, with the invasion of Ukraine by Putin and Iraq at that time, on the illegal aspect, on the aggression of international law.
We have 10 seconds.
It's very important to remind, that Bush should be judged. And it's not acceptable that he's still joking about Iraq.
Fodat Alani, French-Iraqi journalist, Sinan Antoun, Iraqi poet and author.
This is Norma Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Report.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Development and Events Committee will meet on the third Monday of each month at 5:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
These are the final days of KBOO's Volume 2 All Thrills, No Frills special programming campaign, wrapping up with a full day of live music. Saturday, March 25th, KBOO's annual Bluegrass Marathon will be held at the historic Multnomah Grange 71 in Gresham. Go to kboo.fm/bluegrass23 for ticket info. Tune in or join us in person for the 2023 Bluegrass Marathon on March 25th and get your exclusive limited edition 2023 Bluegrass Marathon t-shirt at kboo.fm/bgshirt.
Well, good morning and welcome to Community Radio here on KBOO, your community radio station, broadcasting out of Portland 90.7. Via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. And I am Cecil Prescott, and today is the 20th of March, 2023. And it's around the first day of spring, is it? It is. Thank you, Ray. I know it's somewhere around this time. So welcome to spring, everyone. I'm Cecil Prescott, and let me give you our phone numbers so when we open the lines, you are able to call. Our lines are 503-231-8187. Well, a little history lesson for all of you. Today is the 20th of March, 2023. 3 years ago, on March 23rd, 2020, the governor of Oregon issued a stay-at-home order. And suddenly, all of our lives, not only in Oregon, but certainly throughout the world, changed. And our world is certainly different than it was 3 years ago. Our lives have changed. We will leave it to history to decide whether it has changed for the better or worse, or maybe it's a combination of all of those, all at the same time. But this morning, I thought it would be interesting for us to pause and reflect about where we have been over the last 3 years. In April, the Oregon Health Authority is lifting the public health emergency declaration on April 1st, 2022. Lifting up the public health emergency declaration for COVID-19. Well, it was previously lifted on April 1st, 2022. But since that time, things have changed as people have settled back into what some people think is normalcy, or something like normalcy. So among the things I would like to hear from you this morning is, what exactly has changed in our world? Specifically, what has changed? What did you stop doing at the beginning of the pandemic? What things have you returned to doing again? Has that changed the way you do things post-pandemic or previous pandemic? What are you glad to do again? And finally, what do you not want to go back to doing? What are you relieved that, these things are settled, I do no longer have to return? And all these things are questions that, as we enter back into a change of lifestyle, we need to ponder and negotiate as we move into a new world. So this spring, 2023, is certainly different than the spring of 2020. So in the 1,000-plus days since our state shut down, what has changed? What are you looking? What did you stop doing? What are you have returned to doing again? And what things have changed? Are you glad that you are not going to do again, or saying that I will not return? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And, you know, one thing that has changed for us is how we do radio here back and forth. So KBOO has changed over the last few years in terms of programming and how we do programming. And Celeste and I are actually still sitting in separate studios at this time. And
I'm no good that I'm in a studio.
That has changed, hasn't it?
Let me turn my mic up here for a moment. Yeah. Well, you know, because you are mentioning the station, the fact that we're in the studio, this time in 2020, my friend and colleague Jenna and I were the managers, and we were supposed to just have a short contract and come in and try to paint a picture of what changes needed to be made to get us up to the 21st century, and then go back to our lives as programmers and doing what else we were doing in the community. But then this thing happened called COVID. And in March, I think it was March 16th. It was either the 13th or 16th. In 2020, we had to close the station.
Mm-hmm.
And the station was pretty much closed, even for staff. You know, there was one or two of us trying to run in and make things work. And KBOO had to undergo a tremendous change. We had never had the capacity for remote broadcasting, you know, or remote doing a lot of things. And we had to do major changes. And some quantum leaps forward were done, and some major missteps were done. But we managed to, well, you know, in essence, still be on the air now. And that was a major change. It changed the way a lot of people worked. It changed the way we did fundraising. It changed so many things. And I'm just mentioning that because that's immediately apparent for a lot of folks when they stop and think about changes. Because I wasn't coming into the building, and you know, a lot of us weren't seeing each other, and our world shrunk tremendously. I remember the few times when I would have to come out, we were actually given passes by the federal government in case there was a total shutdown so that we could come out and take care of whatever needs the actual broadcast facility or broadcast facility operations required. That's how serious people thought it was going to be. Now, that opens us up to a whole different conversation, you know, that we're not having right now. But, you know, that was a major change because you looked at what happened and what was expected to happen, and it was kind of frightening in many ways because it must have been like a lot of people who were in the Middle East felt when they had the total social media shut down during the Arab Spring.
Certainly. Well, let's hear some thoughts and comments from you. What has changed? What did you stop doing? What are you glad to do again? And what do you not want to go back to doing? What has changed? Let's go to our first caller, April. Good morning, April.
Good morning, Cecil. Good morning, Celeste, and all the rest of the viewers. I called immediately because I have enough medical issues that my doctor has recommended I don't get vaccinated, and so every time that masks are not required anywhere,
mm-hmm.
It actually narrows my world. It shuts things down. Like right now I'm having a conversation with my doctor about if masks are not required in medical facilities.
Right.
Yeah. Do we need to go back to just phone calls, which is what we did when the pandemic first started?
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I really do like, though, that COVID has done is it really increased the amount of outdoor seating. And at first, I just ate outdoors because, you know, that was the only place that I could do it. Because my doctor and I had a conversation early on and said, well, you know, it's probably not good to be anywhere indoors. And then after the mask mandate was lifted, he was like, it's okay to go indoors, but it's probably not good to be anywhere indoors without your mask. So I ate outside, but I really like it, and my daughter really likes it. And so we have actually started meeting at coffee shops and stuff more often and sitting outside. And that's something that even if we didn't need to keep doing, we would do. I really like it.
Okay.
It's really good. And I thought it was really interesting when I was listening to Celeste, remembering like back when the pandemic first started and there was a state of emergency. I'm an essential worker, so I had to keep going to work anyway, which was kind of frightening, riding the bus and all that. But I really liked it because I grew up in the Northwest in the 70s, and, you know, there were maybe a third of the people that there are now. And so I work in the Northwest. I've done that intentionally, or I did until I retired a couple of weeks ago. And so, you know, it kind of brings back memories anyhow. But walking on those streets, it was like the same streets where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And with the everything shut down for the pandemic and no one but essential workers being out, it was about the same amount of people and the same kind of vibe that it was when I grew up. So that was kind of cool. I really enjoyed that. And I have asthma, and for that period of time, the air was so much cleaner. It was just, it was wonderful.
Thank you, April. Yeah, going back to a time when there was less people.
Less people, cleaner air, cleaner mm-hmm. streets, mm-hmm. urban wildlife coming into the city and into the metro areas. Yep.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was really nice. I hope that going forward, people realize, though, that it's not getting back to normal that we need to do. Normal was kind of horrible for a lot of us. And it's some of the mutual aid that we saw at first, and mm-hmm. and that's kind of dropped off, although some people are continuing to do it. That's what needs to grow. And so I really hope to see a continuation of that, regardless of what else happens.
Well, thank you so much, April.
Yes.
And we'll see what's next.
Yes, great topic. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Hospitals will no longer require wearing a mask starting April 3rd. Things have changed. What has changed in your world? What do you want to go back to? What are you glad that you do not have to do again? Let's go and hear what James has to say. Good morning, James.
Good morning. You know, it's more than one thing. So I guess if I could pick, like, two important things. One thing that changed for me was my music, and the other one that changed for me, not really changed, but maybe, like, strengthened, was the relationship I had with my nesting partner. You know, we joke that, you know, being cooped up for all that time, you know, really showed, like, who was in it for the long haul and who was in it just to have somebody to hang around the house and do stuff, you know. And people say, you know, COVID broke up my marriage. It's like, no, you guys probably had some stuff you didn't have to deal with because you didn't see each other for several hours during the day. But anyway, yeah, you know, my music, you know, my relationship with my nesting partner, you know, those things are really important. I, my music really expanded because I literally was just going to work because I was working at another warehouse at the time and just would come straight home, you know, and so I had all this time to read and practice. And so when I came out of the, when we finally came out of the lockdown the following July, like, I was hitting the ground running. You know, I went from, like, having nobody knocking on my door to have everybody beat down my door to come and play with them. So it was a nice change, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, especially in the Portland market, you know, where it's like, you know, the request for, like, black and Latino folks are really low on the list because, you know, the Portland music scene is pretty heavily saturated with white folks, so it was a nice change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then
it really hurt a lot of local artists not being able to get out here and be seen.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I definitely agree with that. It definitely hurt a lot of people. It was a very rough time for a lot of people. You know, people were trying to stream over Facebook and take donations, and Facebook was shutting people down because for some reason that was a bad thing, you know? So it was like people just struggling. But even for, like, a lot of other artists who were more established, like, there were still people I knew who were, you know, maybe not as frequently, but were still getting gigs while, I mean, I was just playing at church at the time because we were doing remote services, so I still got to play a little bit during the pandemic, but it wasn't like before. But like I said, it's been way better since I got out of it. It was, for some people, lockdown, for a lot of people, lockdown was a tomb, you know, but for me personally, it was like a cocoon, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
So,
all right. Well, yeah, thanks you know, for not your call.
Yeah, no problem.
And you're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and myself, Celeste. We're in the middle of our winter drive here. We're trying to raise $17,000 on the All Thrills, No Frills Volume 2 drive. And just to thank some of the people who have donated, want to thank Wade H. and Alma S. and John E. and Betty A.
Thank you.
Most definitely. And I got one more name that just popped up here, Christopher P. Thank you so much for donating. And you know what's interesting is I look at the amounts people have donated, and it looks like some of them have taken our advice when they say, well, I don't know how much to give. And I say, consider an hour of your pay. And looking at some of the amounts, that's what some people are doing. They're doing, amounts based on their hourly pay. How do I know? Because some of them have like odd amounts, like, 76 cents attached to it or 64 cents. And I really appreciate that because we measure so much of our worth by how much we earn, and then we measure how much we can support in our life by what amount of what we earn we can give. So we're giving directly ourselves to these causes, and so I want to thank these people for giving themselves to support community radio. There are a lot of ways to give, but electronic funds transfer is probably the most stable because it makes sure that you don't have to remember to send the money and we have a steady income. And just go to www.kboo.fm and you can click on the banner that says All Thrills, No Frills Volume 2, or you can text the letters KBOO to the numbers. I just suddenly lost it. 44321. There we go. 44321. I got Monday mind. But let me give you some other numbers. That's 503-231-8187 here. And join in the conversation and share your thoughts with us on Cecil's topic. What has changed? What has not changed? What is good? What is bad? What are you doing different? Etc. Now that we're looking back on the COVID restrictions being lifted. Good morning, Harry.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Yes, the when the pandemic first started, one thing I'm glad that we were wrong, they start looking back, is remember they told us, wash your hands, scrub up to your elbows, the coronavirus could be on a surface for I don't know how many hours, and so we were cleaning up, and then everyone started putting paper towels in their bathroom so they would wipe their hands and throw it away, and different things like that. But hey, we were wrong on that. So,
when you say wrong, what do you mean?
The coronavirus was airborne.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that extra cleanliness, you didn't say whether it was good or bad. I guess that's my next question.
I assume it was good because all of a sudden we didn't have a flu season.
Right. That's right. That's what I was just going to say. A lot of disease, airborne, handborne, they dropped. And it never occurred to us to clean as thoroughly as we did. It's like outside tables, they were just not cleaned unless there was something gross on them, you know.
And the wipes, sanitation wipes, to make sure you clean all your doorknobs. And believe it or not, they were dirty.
They were filch.
<Get dirty>.
Well, see that, you know, and people didn't stop to think about it. All this extra cleaning we did while we were cooped up in the house, that was good.
Yeah, it definitely was. And the next I'm worried about it, that Cecil just mentioned about hospitals don't have to have masks, but you would think that being of any place that needs a mask would be a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I belong to Kaiser, and when you walk in, that's the first thing they give you. They give you a mask. Not that you don't have to wear it, but I think most people in the hospital will. And, of course, I don't know what hospital staff will do now.
Mm-hmm. Staff will probably wear masks, because even though people want to talk this nonsense, masks don't help. I'm going to tell you something. I worked in the healthcare field. People, first, we don't understand that when we talk, we spray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you don't see large amounts coming out or large droplets coming out. We spray. And for people to think that that doesn't help, a mask doesn't help, is just, unfortunately, successful propaganda. Masks do make a difference. And I don't understand why hospitals would not have you wear a mask anyway, because having been a nurse, having worked, remember when I was in nursing school, one of the first things they told us is a hospital is one of the, I'm going to say this, germiest place there is, because you have a concentration of people with various maladies. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And not just halitosis either.
Yeah, and also, if you go to a grocery store now,
mm-hmm.
Half the people still wear masks.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, and so I think that's still going to kind of stay.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a while there people that were attacking people with masks. Take off your mask, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But also in the grocery stores, I remember they allowed people, elderly people, they wanted you to come in between 7 and 9 a.m.
Yes.
Which was absurd. It's like, come on. First, who going to drive my grandmother to? Well, she wasn't alive, but that's rhetorical. You know, who going to drive her at 7 and 8 in the morning? And then why are you subjecting them to such inhumane hours unless you're just capitalizing on the fact that they say old people don't sleep?
But I have a solution for the mask so people will leave them alone. That is, on the mask, put the word sick, or put the word leprosy or something like that on the mask, and people will see it, and then they'll stay away from you.
I just tell them, look, I'm not a sheep.
I'm
protecting myself from you.
Okay, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you for your call and for the humor.
Thank you. Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. The mask mandate. Ooh, I remember that.
You know what's really interesting? Some businesses like my clinic, and I'm going to do them a favor they haven't done me, but they actually said that they kept the mask mandates in place and COVID restrictions. They stopped letting people come for walk-in appointments. And they must have let go of a bunch of staff, because they would only take phone calls, mm-hmm. and you would be on hold for, I've been on hold for 48 minutes waiting to talk to somebody, only to have them drop the call, and then I have to go back and do this all over again. It's like, I can't wait to see if they lift that, because they said, due to COVID restrictions, we have limited staff. It's like, no. You're conflating a whole bunch of things when you came up with that.
Well, yeah, that's true. So, you know, a couple of things. You and a caller mentioned, you know, the rise in telehealth, the use of a mask. But things have changed in many ways. And will we return back to normal?
Well, wait a minute now. When you say return back to normal, I'm going to do April. It's like, well, was that really the optimum state? And what is normal anyway?
Exactly. Well, let's go to our next caller and see what they have to say. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
Hi. There's two things. No buffets anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
All the buffets have closed. Well, there's one held here in Hillsboro, but never mind about that. And also the movies.
Yeah, the movies are struggling to pick it back up, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, the marquees and stuff, they just say, you know, we're here, whatever, but they don't put up the movies that they're showing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, and also they have all these, I don't know, they used to have, you know, things taped off when you wanted to, you know, sit on a chair, and you're like, have to be two or three chairs, you know, away from the one of the person who is sitting.
Right.
You know, it's like that 6 foot thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered because I've been to the movies, you know, well, somewhat frequently since the restrictions have been lifted, and it's still, for me at least, it's still like a private theater. It doesn't seem to be many people in. Maybe it's the hours I pick.
Well, also the quality of the cinema.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the movies coming out are really bad, you know.
Well, you know,
that's just for me.
Even if you liked movies, one of the things that people see, you know, again, we're conflating so many things with this, but movies were on their way out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason why they were dying. They're sounding this death knell anyway.
Screaming.
But here's the funny thing, though. Some of the actors got all bent out of shape because they do a movie. They thought they were going to have a theatrical release. It went straight to streaming. They didn't make all the money and get all the brouhaha they thought they were supposed to. So they started getting upset about what they were getting paid. Now, I'm not going to debate that because people should get paid. But I just found it really interesting because, okay, you're just making yourself irrelevant to the theaters because they're not going to want to pay you. Because you're not working with the reality we got here. Nobody wants to go to the movies.
Yeah, I know COVID in some other ways. There'll probably be other callers, but, you know, our whole culture and society is just, you know, it's a bygone era almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a short period of time.
Yes, you hit the nail on the head there.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me talk.
All righty, well, thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
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 You know, tell me more about this movie going and having your own room. I mean, is it you still getting the big screen thrill?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, maybe it's the theaters I pick or the hours I go, but
mm-hmm.
it's still, you know, many months later, whenever I go into a theater, there are, you know, maybe a handful of people. And these are like, you know, not only, you know, artsy, craftsy movie, but popular films.
Mm.
It's not as many people in a theater. And, you know, I admit that I've, you know, for example, I've become a frequent participant in streaming services, and it's so much easier just to you know, get in your favorite chair at home and stream a movie as opposed to getting out and buying a ticket
yes.
in the cold. So...
Yeah. Well, buying a ticket, I mean, you know, don't you have to take out a second mortgage to get a ticket nowadays?
Ah.
You know, because movies are not cheap.
Oh.
Well, let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Dave.
I don't know where to start. I was kind of hoping at the end of that people would become more wise to Big Pharma. And when I say Big Pharma, I don't mean the local counter, you know, the local drugstore where your pharmacy is. I'm talking about the bigger, the big pharma,
mm-hmm.
the laboratories and stuff where they do all this testing to tell us everything is safe and all that. But Big Pharma is actually helping Big Oil stay around. Now, I don't know if you want me to go into how that happens or just let it go at that and let people try to figure out on their own how this is happening.
Well, say something about Big Pharma.
Yes, something briefly about Big Pharma.
Well, here's the thing. Big Pharma, like if you watch these TV things and all these ads for medicine, they don't deal with cures or nothing. All they do is deal with symptoms. And they take the symptom, if it's pain, they just take the pain away. And so us not going after what's causing these things is a big problem because it's just letting that fester and fester and go. We got to get, you know, and like I said, I just want to repeat again, Big Pharma is not your local drugstore guy or even, you know, that. It's people we won't even ever see, probably.
Yes.
And it just saddens me that Big Pharma, many people that I think are in the health, not health, I don't mean health like organic health stuff and that, they were some of the most fearful. And they should be the ones that are, and even Fauci, who's the guy, at first he used to talk about, yes, you should build up your system, you should be doing this stuff. And then as soon as the big pharmaceuticals rolled in with that, boop, don't hear anything. And when I'd call there and try to talk about how this thing started, who's affected, I could not talk. They would not let me. So at least I appreciate I got on the air today. And I'm not trying to, you know, be bad or nothing. I just...
That's okay. That's all right.
We're
not
going to
punish you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Well, you know, one thing that I thought he would talk about and he, was that in terms of these major pharmaceutical companies, just in terms of how, you know, a few, you know, the profits went way up.
Oh, yes.
And in terms of those who were... in the development of COVID research, COVID vaccine, and yeah, that's a whole other problem that we as a society need to deal with. But let's go to our next caller.
Good morning, Robbie.
Hey, good morning. How are you all doing?
I'm hanging in there. How about you?
Good. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I've noticed has changed with COVID, and it's weird because it's turned into one of those topics that we can't really talk about, much like 9/11. It's kind of funny. I name my Wi-Fi hotspot. I name it COVID 9/11 with the and it's funny because anytime people ask for the Wi-Fi, I have to explain that. But yeah, there's you know, for one, I think there's a lot of stuff that's happened. It's all on a trajectory rate, though. If you pay attention to what was happening in the working market, it was getting rougher and rougher to find people to work right before 2020. I was in the service industry, and there was we weren't able to find a dishwasher for under, you know, $17 an hour, you know, and I was, you know, maybe $2 more managing the place. And that was a lot different from, you know, just 2 or 3 years prior to that. But once the pandemic hit and the shutdown happened, everything went to skeleton crews. People were, you know, laid off. And that's actually one of the first real atrocities that I think happened was that actually kicked people out into the street. There was a very good Democracy Now at that time that happened where they were talking about the poverty that was came out from that. And so what happened was I actually adopted two families in Africa, because when they shut down and locked down their countries, they didn't offer them the support that they had, that we had here, and they were starving to death. And so I'm to this day I'm still supporting two families in the Gambia. Mm-hmm. Batibu, good, they're really good people. But these lockdowns had repercussions that we weren't really able to question at the time without being considered not following science. And I find that a little disheartening now, because a lot of the stuff that they were saying, if you remember back when the vaccines came out, they created these efficiencies. They were reporting how efficient the vaccine was. Do you remember they reported that the percentage of it?
Go on.
They used to report how effective the vaccines were. Now they don't. And that's because I think the science has come out to prove that maybe the people who were skeptical of how effective it was, how safe it was, and how free it's going to be might have been right about it. And I see that we're not allowed to question it still. And I think that there's just a lot of stuff that, you know, again, like all the people that hit the street. Sorry, I had to get out of the work environment there. I was getting bombarded. I just find it very fascinating how well they were able to... I'll end it with this. The John Hopkins Society put on Event 201. This is all on Wikipedia. Event 201 started on October 18th of 2019. They role-played a coronavirus outbreak, and all the world leaders got together and not world leaders, but economic leaders as well. And they role played what would happen with a coronavirus outbreak and what would happen and how they would do it. That started October 18th, the same day that the Wuhan held the Military World Games. So there's actually what they call the Military Olympics. You can look this up. It's the Military World Games. It started on October 18th in Wuhan, China, where multiple teams reported a strange illness upon coming back to their home countries after that game. And so what I see is that the conspiracy theorists were right, that this was a manufactured lab thing, which our Department of Energy and, you know, the FBI thinks it's a lab leak. Why would they think that when we're still, like, what, we're, like, the media or the news?
Well, I don't necessarily take anything that the FBI says as gospel. You know, I mean, they are propaganda machine in their own right.
So why is it still questioned? How come we still don't have a confirmation of whether this was zoonotic or a lab leak? I mean, if you look at the evidence.
Well, maybe because they actually don't know. I mean, that is a possibility. I'm not saying anything. My point is that even if folks know, they're not telling everything. And we know the governments don't tell everything. So,
Of course they don't tell stuff. They were telling us to take the vaccine that was developed by the same agencies that were working on these coronaviruses in that virology lab for the last two decades.
Well, I mean, but they've been working on some of the same vaccines that we need to take, too. So, I mean,
There's EcoHealth Alliance with Peter Daszak. EcoHealth Alliance and Peter Daszak were both working in the Wuhan virology where they were enveloping
horseshoe. Here's the thing. I don't want to dispute your facts, but, you know, here's the problem.
This is the stuff that we can't talk about.
Well, we can talk about it, but we don't know anything. And so
that's why I'm here and trying to share
here's my concern. I don't have anything to document what you're saying, the veracity of what you're saying. And I'm one of these people, even if I listen, that doesn't mean I'm believing. I like to be able to see proof. And we don't have enough time for you to give that much attention to that one aspect of this when we've got other people on. I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong or anything like that. I'm just saying this is not that show where we can dive deep into it.
Okay. Well, again, I guess I just think that's the thing that's, you know, kind of, you know, changed here is that, you know, the left wing has now openly supported Big Pharma. They have not questioned anything that's gone out. The science that they say they follow.
I kind of beg to differ that they've not questioned, but I hear your point. But we do have other people, and I want to thank you. You did get a chance to get your word out.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So one of the things that the last caller mentioned when he was talking about on poverty, one thing that has developed was that we saw the rate of childhood poverty briefly decrease in the United States because of the economic assistance that was given to family. That has stopped. That has ended.
Sadly.
And surprise, surprise, childhood poverty
jumped right back up.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to our next caller. I think we have another caller.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi.
Good morning.
Brian.
Hi, my name is Brian. I just find it interesting that these people that are now, like, trying to bring up these conspiracies, they can't just look at that states like Idaho that were all in the conspiracy land of not getting a vaccine, were having to come to Oregon's hospitals because their hospitals were overflowing.
Yes,
I'm just like, I mean, and then you take like the average national death rate, right? Mm-hmm. We take that on just like how it was running previous to COVID, and there's a giant spike. This isn't just some like, and as far as this conspiracy that they all got together at this meeting before, they had been talking about a COVID-like epidemic for decades. They knew it was coming. People need to understand, the world changes. Things change. We're not in a static environment.
Well, we never have been. It never has been. Things just traveled a lot slower than they did. Have we had the same societal connections that back in 1918 that we do now? The Spanish flu would have decimated a lot more of the United States, you know, because we have different
I, travel. I agree.
Yeah.
A respiratory virus like COVID was talked about very possibly happening. It's like, and as far as the whole, if you go to Wuhan, China, I don't even think it was actually the government. If you look at their essentially their farmers market and their, how they were selling live animals, it's like a, it's like they sell everything in there, and they're all caged up next to each other. So if anything, it has far more to do with deregulation and globalization. But these people on the right are just like, oh, the left's all with big pharma. Who owns all the big pharma? Who owns all the big media? Please, get out of here with that stuff. Murdoch,
he's,
where is he from? He's not U.S.
No, he's not. And I remember a lot of us here at KBOO railing against, you know, the possibility of him owning press. And many of our fears have come true. Even Cecil and I talked about it. But, you know, here's the thing that people, you know, you're right. No one really paid attention to the fact.
I'll let you continue, but I just wanted to jump in. But I love your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. You know, people don't want to pay attention to the fact that even though you might have had a state where they had seemingly low numbers, if it wasn't reported that people were running to the next county, the next state, the next region for care, you know, as best as they were able, you wouldn't know that there was all of this background, peddling, so to speak, paddling, trying to keep afloat. And people who said, well, you know, we had low rates and we didn't do this and we didn't do that. I went to school for journalism, and I was, you know, cadet in the Air Force to be an information officer. One of the things you learn is this little media trick called propaganda, y'all. You tell people what you want them to hear, and then you try to make it as difficult as possible for them to do documentation and backup and verifying of facts. And it's like, you know, I listen, but that doesn't mean you automatically believe. And my thing is, question as much as you can and do your research and the things that matter to you. You can't do it everywhere, but I don't know. This whole thing about COVID didn't affect us when we see it. And for all we know, the great resignation that we experienced, that well could have been in effect way before COVID hit, as some of our callers, you know, noted from their experiences. But, you know, you decide, as they say.
Let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning, Celeste and Cecil. Well, I'm so sort of gobsmacked over the whole COVID thing still after all this time, so I just want to shed a little perspective and light as far as my viewpoint at the moment with the subject you brought up, Cecil. So I just go back now to when it hit for me, when I know, and before it hit in this country, well, there was the whole thing in Italy, and it went from 1 week, 100 people all of a sudden were dying, and the next week it was 200, and then the next week it was 600. You know, it just escalated daily to phenomenal numbers. Then there was the guy in China that was working in the lab who tried to tell people. That's something that happened very early on before we knew what was really coming. That doesn't mean it started in the lab, but they may have been studying it. But anyway, he got probably one of the first cases and was, I think he was maybe silenced if he didn't die of it.
I think he died, yeah.
But so anyway, we just saw it happen, and then it, for me and for all of us, nothing like this had ever happened in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So it was such a scary, unbelievable phenomenon. I mean, I did read Camus, The Plague again, right in the beginning, to just sort of get myself into like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, I don't know, you know, we found out the masks are really help, but it's still good to wash your hands and all that. The masks are great. And for quite a long time, we went without a vaccine. So when the vaccines came out, even though there was a lot of fear about that, and then there was the whole, some people anti-vax and all of that, it did seem to really help, and I still just mourn so many great people, John Prine, just wonderful people that died. I mean, just everyone, the millions of people that died from it is still with us. And I just want to—I don't want to ramble on because I don't have the answer, but I just want to say that it's gotten better and things are going back is good, but we still don't know even what it is. We don't know even if you get a mild case, what effect it has on your brain, your heart, and all that. They're still studying, so you don't want to get even a mild case. I don't know if either of you have gotten it, but a lot of people have, and I'm lucky to say I haven't because I've been very safe. But I wish we knew more about it, and we still don't.
Yeah. One thing that I think is unfortunate, not only that we still, as you reminded us, do not know everything about it, but I think all in the midst of this, that we need to recognize, as you noted, the millions of people who have been infected, who became ill, and in the United States alone, I don't think we've process over 1 million people died of COVID. Think of the hundreds of thousands of families impacted, how people were unable to mourn, be in the hospital with their loved ones. I think that's something that we'll still reckon with, struggle with in the months and years ahead.
Yeah, I think we're a traumatized world, not just nation. I think we're still traumatized by something that no one ever imagined could happen. And I certainly didn't, and I still can't even believe it happened.
Well,
and we're still living with it.
I know people imagine that it can happen. You know, you kind of referenced it tangentially when you mentioned Camus, The Plague, you know. But the thing is I don't think we knew how to adapt because all the powers that be are in too much of a disarray to be able to agree on how to teach people to react to catastrophes.
Right.
You know,
we were just learning along the way.
Yes, we were. And we still argue about whether you should duck and cover or roll and twist or jump up and down or put the left foot in and then, you know, take it out. We're trying to figure out what to do with daylight savings time versus standard time.
Yeah, do we keep getting a vaccine every 3 months because they start to wear off?
Or does it wear off, or should we wear a mask? Yeah, there you go.
I want to applaud you, though, Celeste, because there was a time when we were all banging our pans and I was blowing my contour at 7 o'clock every evening and applauding all the health workers, because what a hard time. What a really hard time we've all had.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So thank you.
Well, I'm no longer a nurse, and I didn't do nursing. Well, actually, I did do nursing care, but not in a hospital or clinical situation. But I still want to applaud all those people who, you know, were out there on the front lines, not knowing anything, trying to help us keep society in intact.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
All those people. Thank you very much, and thanks for your great show.
All right. Thank you.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil. I'm here with Celeste. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Among the things we are talking about this morning is 3 years after the U.S. shut down for the coronavirus. And as we leave, what things have changed in your life? What things are you glad have changed? What things are you doing different? And what things, where do we go from here? Well, let's go to our next caller to see what their thoughts are.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. We are a traumatized and a manipulated people. I wanted to make at least two recommendations. One is a movie by Roger Moore that is on YouTube. It's a free movie, Capitalism, A Love Story. And you can watch Michael Moore try to interview the head, the CEO of Pfizer, and the head of, I think, the EPA on behalf of Flint, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. About the water.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So it's a great example of a courageous individual action and filmmaking kind of an introduction to our time of changing thinking. You know, thinking is changing, and people are seeing that capitalism is at least a virus, self-destructive, and an end in itself. You know, multiplying profit is really not an ultimate meaning. So, and of course, more jobs were taken away through automation and computerization than were actually replaced. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The second recommendation is a website, Philosophical Salon. And if you want to learn about emergency capitalism,
emergency or emerging?
Emergency.
Okay.
Yeah. Or catastrophe, disaster capitalism. Naomi Klein spoke about this, yeah. And so there are writers. There's a writer, Fabio Vilhi from Cardiff University in the UK, who talks about emergency capitalism and how the pandemic led to the Ukraine war almost without a break. And how we have just, you know, fallen to accept authoritarian decision making. That capitalism is authoritarian and not democratic. That's an important point to make and to discuss and argue. Now, recently, we're also witnesses to an explosion of propaganda because this is a wartime, and the leftists are actually called Putin admirers and war supporters. And of course, that's a terrible distortion. And the media is, of course, run by corporados who are not interested in a balanced or in a debate. They're just trying to promote the official narrative. And the official narrative is that we are blameless, that Putin is evil, is the total evil. And if morality serves only one side, it's worthless.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're close to ending our time this morning, and certainly did not have time to explore the points that you've lifted up today. But thank you so much for your calling, and perhaps we'll have more time to explore these topics later on.
And thanks for suggesting the books, too.
Thank you.
Thank mm-hmm. you. Yeah. One thing he mentioned, maybe when he mentioned the movie by Michael Moore, I thought he said Roger Moore, and I said, what does...
He did, but I knew what he meant. Yeah.
So I was trying to figure out.
Because my mind immediately went to, 007.
007, that's where I went.
With a nod to Francis, who liked Roger Moore as 007.
Right.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that has changed that I miss... is the fact that it is harder to get together with people because that rhythm got interrupted.
Yeah.
And that rhythm manifested itself on so many different levels in so many different ways. For example, if you were not inclined to get out, maybe you just did because you wanted to see people and stay connected. And for people who were kind of introverted or slightly agoraphobic and didn't like going in public, that momentum was interrupted and you didn't get out. I know some days I just will not leave my house. Now, I'm not sure why. Yeah, I don't know if it's a mental health issue or you know what, but I just know it takes a lot more effort for me to get out. And then I had COVID. I caught COVID, even though I was trying to do everything right. You know, I didn't want to scare our last caller when she said she was safe, but there wasn't too much you could do. You just had to have either a strong immune system or be in the right place or the wrong place, not be in the wrong place at the right time.
Right.
But, you know, with regard to that coming together, what I would like to do is challenge people now that their restrictions are lifted to get out and try to expand your connections. The good thing about expanding connections is that when you do hug people, that actually boosts your immune system. When you engage with people and have positive engagement and pleasure talking with folks, that boosts your immune system, your mental health connections, and social ability. And that's what we need right now during this age of propaganda and division, is to find ways to bridge those gaps and stay together.
Let's continue to do that, continue to build community. You've been listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Cecil.
I am Celeste. And we hope to be bringing you an author next week, Carmen Thompson. Okay, Cecil gave me the high sign. Yes. So stay tuned for the Old Mole Variety Hour, and we'll hear you next week on More Talk Radio on your community connection, KBOO Portland. Thumbs up and shout outs to Ray, our engineer.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio